With me tonight to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. 2 weeks ago, we opened our Bible to chapter 36 of Genesis and read nothing from that chapter. We saw on the pages in front of us a long list of four generations of names that were associated with Esau, the brother of Jacob. These names were listed, but had no significance in the lives of the Hebrew children other than these people would become the mortal enemies of God's chosen people. We did come to understand that there was a great lesson to be learned from looking at and not reading this chapter. We learned that both brothers had much in common as to who their parents were, what their parents taught them, and who they looked up to as they grew up. We learned that their family worship was the same. They worshiped the same God. Yet the brothers made their own decisions and their own choices to either follow God or to rebel against their family and God. This made the difference in both of who and who both these men became. Tonight, we're going to continue in our study of the book of Genesis and see a new patriarch emerge. So let's look at Genesis chapter 37. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. These are the family records of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended sheep with his brothers. The young man was working with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and brought a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons, because Joseph was the son born to him in his old age, and he made a robe of many colors for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the brothers, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peacefully to him. Then Joseph had a dream. When he told his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. There were binding sheaves of grain in the field. Suddenly my sheaves stood up, and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." "Are you really going to reign over us?" his brothers asked him. "Are you really going to rule us?" So they hated him even more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and told his brothers. "Look," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun, moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." He told his father and brothers, but his father rebuked him. "What kind of dream is this that you have had? He said, "And your mother and brothers and I are going to bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, and his father kept the matter in mind. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness for our sins tonight. Lord, again, we thank you for allowing us to come into your house. Now, Lord, as we open your word tonight, Lord, I pray that you would just refresh us, revive us, renew us. God, get us prepared as we head out the doors to our mission field. Help us, God, to be adequately prepared and excited about who you are and what you're doing in each one of our lives, Lord, that we might serve you the way you created us to. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Boy, it's dark outside, isn't it, y'all? It sure is. Warren Wiersbe says this about chapter 37 as a whole. He says, Genesis 37 unfolds the destructive dynamics of the life that knew the true and living God and yet sinned against him and each other by what they said and what they did. The presence of Joseph in the home did not create problems so much as reveal the problems. Were there problems in that household? Yeah. And anytime there's problems in a household, you try to point them out or try to figure out why there are problems in the household. And the problem wasn't Joseph. Joseph just, the presence of Joseph in that house revealed what the problems were really about. He continues to say this. Wiersbe continues to say this. He says, consider the destructive forces at work in this family. Forces that God in his grace overruled for their good. Where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. Behind the story of Joseph is the heart of a covenant-making God who always keeps his promises. Joseph is one of the richest illustrations of Jesus Christ found in the Old Testament. Joseph is like Jesus in that he was beloved by his father and obedient to his will. He was hated and rejected by his brethren and sold as a slave. Falsely accused and unjustly punished. Finally elevated from a place of suffering to a powerful throne. Thus saving his people from death. Church, listen to me. These next 14 chapters, they're going to be good. They're going to be good. As Wiersbe stated, Joseph is one of the greatest illustrations in Old Testament Scripture of who Jesus is to us today. Amen? So, y'all get excited. I tell my Wednesday night crowd every night as we go through the life of Christ, at the end of the study, I said, next week it's going to get better. Hey, listen, the story of Joseph is a unbelievable, wonderful story. So y'all please be excited about it. Now, what we see in these verses, what we see in verses 1 through 4, we first see the sentence, these are the family records of Jacob. Now, have we seen words like this in times past in our studies? Yeah, I mean, we see it just about every Christmas when we just open the book of Matthew, the very first chapter of Matthew. We see the genealogies and all the names. Yet we do not see what we normally see following such a statement. We normally see a long list of hard-to-pronounce names and the word begat many times. Wiersbe says, these are the generations of Jacob, informs us as the readers, that we're moving into a new section of the book of Genesis, which is devoted to Jacob. Now, y'all remember when I went through Journey Through the Bible when I first came here. The book of Genesis, it starts off with three historical events. Creation, the fall, the flood, four, and the Tower of Babel. Four major events. Now, the second part of Genesis deals with four major characters. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. That must mean, golly, we're winding the corner in the book of Genesis. It just seems like we just got into it, but it's been a while. We're heading towards the home stretch now that we've gotten on Joseph, the last patriarch. The chief actor in this Jacob section of Genesis will be Joseph. Joseph is mentioned twice as many times as his father in the next 14 chapters. Jacob isn't ignored, but Joseph will occupy center stage from here on out. And being that he is an illustration or a type or a picture of Jesus, it's rightfully so that he does occupy center stage. Amen? Now, we then see division amongst the brothers that was likely always present with Jacob's family unit. There's always friction in a family full of boys. There are. Miss Desi said amen. Nobody else is going to say anything? When you have a group of boys together, you're always going to have just a little unity. Just this past weekend, and I don't remember this story that Emily was telling us. I don't know if you came home, but I just don't remember ever hearing about it. Maybe you just didn't want to tell me because you thought I'd beat them to death. But Emily and Kyle and Alex were at home by themselves, and Amy had gone somewhere, and I was gone somewhere. And when we came home, or when she came home, Emily and Kyle had just gotten sick of listening to Alex's mouth. I mean, he was always, and y'all listen, Alex, he's funny now. But Kyle was always the funny one. I mean, Kyle was always cracking jokes and doing stuff, always keeping us just, and Alex always tried to be funny, and he wasn't. He didn't. He tried. I mean, we were always saying, son, that's not funny. It's not funny. But we came home, or Amy came home, and Emily and Kyle had enough. They had tie-wrapped him, his hands together, tie-wrapped his hands to the bed rail, bunk beds, taped his feet together and stuck a sock in his mouth and left him in his room. Now, you remember that? I don't. Was I there? I don't remember that. I usually remember everything. Now, what we used to do, I mean, everybody has different ways of dealing with children when they argue and fight. And they brought this up. I remember it, but I'd forgotten about it. Anytime the three of them would fight, now, Jennifer, y'all pay attention to this. Anytime our children would fight, we didn't separate them and put them in different rooms. Oh, no. No, no. Tie wraps are wonderful, y'all. We would tie wrap their hands, their inner hands together, and they had to stay with each other for the next couple of hours. Everywhere one went, the other one had to go. They had to work it out, right? Why? Because there was disunity. There was always disunity in this family unit. Now, this thought of unity was not often seen in the family structure of Jacob. Jacob had been deceived by his father-in-law and had married sisters who became bitter rivals. And then both sisters had to add to the mix by giving their maids to marry Jacob. Rivalry had become a common theme in the household and is seen in verse 2 as Joseph tells on his older brothers for doing something they should not have been doing while tending the sheep. Now, what could they have been doing? Commentators and scholars, they've tried to, speculate as to what they were doing. I remember years ago, I was watching some sort of, film on this topic, and the writers made us believe that while they were tending sheep at night, the older brothers would sneak into the village and have relations with the women there. Could that have happened? Could have happened. Could have been that they were taking the sheep to fields they shouldn't have been to. Whatever it was, they shouldn't have been doing it. And Joseph told it. Now, was he a narc or what? Did he, rat on his brothers, tattle on his brothers? Well, yeah, he did. He did. Maybe he shouldn't have, maybe he should have, but I mean, he told his father what was going on. Why would he do that? Because he loved his father. He loved his father. Now, we see a proclamation in verse 3 that no parent should make. No parent should make this, and no child should ever hear or see a parent do this. Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph by making this coat of many colors for him, and our scripture tonight tells us that was all his brothers needed to seal their vat of hate that they had for him. From that point on, Joseph's brothers could not find it within themselves to speak peacefully to him. And in other words, they were mean to their younger brother Joseph. Now, how could it be any worse for Joseph? The only person he could talk to and count on was his father. Now, understand here, youth, they didn't live in a subdivision. They didn't go to Richmond Hill High School. That they didn't get on the school bus. They didn't. These kids, they didn't interact really with any other kids except their brothers and sisters. Unless they went to some family reunion or they, had some sort of tribal ceremony or, they went to some place to worship the Lord and maybe they would interact. But Joseph, the only person he interacted with were his brothers. Now, his father is showing favoritism to Joseph, gives him this coat of many colors. They hate him, can't stand him, talk about him, exclude him. Y'all know how y'all used to do or how it used to be done to you when you were in school. There was always this one kid, and he was never included. This was Joseph. And you think to yourself, how could it be any worse? How could they treat me any worse, dislike me any more? What could happen that they would hate me, their brother, anymore? We get ready to see, because they did. Joseph had his dreams. They didn't like him to begin with before the dreams. And now he's getting ready to tell these dreams to his brothers. The first of the two dreams is seen in verse 5 through 8, binding of the sheaves. Now, some of you may or may not know what a sheave is. We don't really see them as much in our day today, with modern farming equipment, but if you watch documentaries a lot like I do and you look at European farmland, what they'll do is they'll cut the wheat down, and in Africa they still do it. They hand cut. As a matter of fact, when I was in Nicaragua, we were up on a mountaintop, and they didn't have lawnmowers and weed eaters up there. They cut grass with machetes still to that day. Those people are deadly with machetes. You go to the flea market and buy a machete, and it's kind of sharp. It's got an industrial edge or, you know, a new factory edge on it. These machetes in Nicaragua, oh, my gosh, you can cut your hair with it. But they'll cut the grass or the weed or whatever down, and it falls down, and then somebody will come back and bind all of them together and stand them up, and then they'll come by later and pick them all up. So a sheaf was a bound together wheat, grain, hay, and it was just, you know, round, and sometimes it would stand this tall, or, you know, depending on what it was, you know, it would stand higher. So in this first dream, Joseph has this dream, and his sheath is stood up, and it's standing tall in the middle. And all the 11 other sheaths bow down before Joseph's sheath. Now think with me here for a second. Just put yourself in your family unit. And I did this with Memory and Mandy. Can you imagine telling your brothers and sisters that? Mr. Crawford, now you can relate because you had how many brothers and sisters? Joseph, right here. Modern, could you imagine telling your brothers this story? I mean, they'd laugh their head off at you. I mean, they would. Now, Ms. Crawford, you had just about as many, didn't you? How many did you have? 7. 11. Golly. Can y'all imagine the family reunion or the Christmas at their house? Y'all draw names, I guess, right? Whew, goodness gracious. But they already hated him. And now he's telling this story, this first story of, you know, basically, you're going to bow down before me. Do y'all think they hated him anymore? Now you think to yourself, ask yourself this question again. Now, could they hate him anymore? Could they hate him anymore? Now think with me here. Jacob, the dad, is hearing these stories. And y'all know how it is in the family unit. One of those brothers probably went to dad later on. You know, they were out going to the well and getting something to drink. And they probably said, Justin, they probably said, did you hear that stupid story Jacob told? Dad, what is wrong with him? Now, I mean, I didn't get a coat, and I don't need a coat. Jacob needed a coat. It's nicer than the one you gave me, but that's okay. But, Dad, I mean, that story was crazy. That was ridiculous. And Jacob probably did, you know, what every father does. Son, you know, it's just a dream. It's just a story. Don't let it bother you. It's okay. Just, you know, downplayed it. And then Joseph has another dream. Now, y'all, you can tell, you can discern. This happened to me just this past Monday night. Amy and I went somewhere, and there's a person that I have to interact with from time to time, and they're just not pleasant, okay? They're not church members. There's a person in the community, and I have to interact with them. Steve, you probably have this as you circle around. And you walk in, and you see this person, and because you're a Christian, you just, you know, I have to, you know, shake their hand. Good to see you. You know, how you doing? And you know they don't like you. Just by their facial expressions, the way they treat you. As I was leaving, I went back to this person. I said, man, it was good to see you. He said, yeah, have a good night. I'm thinking, really? I mean, it's that obvious that they don't like you. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm okay with that. You know, not everybody's going to like you. But, I mean, I can't make myself not like this person. But he doesn't like me, and I'm okay with that. That's fine. But these boys don't like Joseph. They do not like him. And Joseph has to know that he doesn't like them. And I know this person Monday night that I saw doesn't like me. And I didn't walk in there and say, hey, let me tell you a story about how I'm better than you. I didn't do that. I mean, I guess I could have, but I didn't. And after I knew that he doesn't like me, I'm not going to say, okay, let me, hold on. That first story wasn't abrasive enough. So let me tell you a second story. I'm going to be honest with you, y'all. After the first story didn't go over real well as a hit, I don't think I'd have told the second story. I think I'd have kept the second story to myself. I really do. Because the first story involved just Joseph and his 11 brothers. The second story was a little more in depth. Now, I don't know how it was growing up in your house, but I know how it was growing up in my house under my dad. I was always my dad's son. Do you hear me? And I don't like this newfangled way that kids are growing up and they call you by their first name. I don't like it. I always called my uncles and aunts Uncle Jerry, Aunt Iris, Aunt Joy. Maybe you were raised different, and that's fine, whatever. I just don't like it. I remember one time my Uncle Randy, who was mentally retarded, he was mongoloid, I made the mistake of walking outside, and he was sitting there, and I said, "Hey, Randy, how you doing?" And the next thing I know, I am on the ground. And I'm picking myself up, and I'm looking behind me, and my Uncle Jerry had smacked me in the back of my head and knocked me to the ground. And I said, what was that for? He said, "That's your uncle. You address him with respect." In my family unit, it didn't matter who you were around. If you were out of line, you were put back in line, and rightfully so. Now some parents don't even scripturally handle their children. I mean, it is scriptural to discipline your children through spankings. I don't think I got enough. Proverbs 23:13, beat them with a spoon. A spoon. One of those ping pong paddles. We never had we had those ping pong paddles at our house. We did. You know what we did with them? We played with the ball with it. And when the string and the ball broke, guess what we did? We threw it all in the trash. Mom didn't use that. She used either a belt, a stick, or a broom handle. Amen? I don't know how in the world I got off on that, But the second dream. Now we come to the second dream. The first dream, I would have kept the second one to myself. Then we come to the second dream. Well, how could it be any worse? Joseph sees the sun and the moon and 11 stars, and they're all worshiping him. Him. Now, at first it was just the 11 brothers, but now we've brought the parents into it. Tony Waddell, he's not ever going to worship me. He's not ever going to call me daddy. Or he was never ever going to say Mr. Waddell or Uncle Kyle when he was addressing me. I was under his authority, and everybody knew it, and I was fine with that. Hey, listen, until I was 21, 22 years old, I still feared my dad. I really did. And Scripture says that we're to honor our parents all the days of our lives. You know how long that is? As long as we live. When they die, we're still to honor our moms and our dads. And apart from discipline, that ain't happening. That's not going to happen. So we have these two dreams, these crazy dreams. The result of both dreams is that Joseph's father rebuked him at first. And his brothers found reason to hate him even more. The author of the 14th century pastor's manual once wrote, "Envy was the most precious daughter of the devil, because it follows his footsteps by hindering good and promoting evil." Envy would provoke Joseph's brothers. They envied him. Why is he getting this special treatment from dad? If I were to say these stupid cockamamie dreams, I'd be out there, shipped out there with the sheep for the next 5 years. And here dad is letting him wander around back and forth, come and run his mouth, telling stories, telling on his brothers. Right? Now, church, if we stopped right here in our study tonight, and did not know the rest of the story, if we had no clue how it all ended, we may, just like Joseph's brothers, feel a little twinge of envy. We may try and detect a portion of pride and arrogance on the part of Joseph. Oh, Joseph, he just thinks he's better than everybody else walking around here with that coat of many colors and telling us about those stupid dreams of his. We'd have a twinge of arrogance towards him. Wiersbe tells his readers that there was no form of elevation that Joseph could have received in the family unit that would have prompted his brothers to bow down before him. Why then the dreams? Why then did Joseph feel so compelled to tell his brothers and his fathers of these dreams, knowing, church, that by telling them, they would only hate him that much more? He had to know. He had to know that his brothers hated him. Y'all know when somebody doesn't like y'all, right? Y'all know, right? And when you know somebody doesn't like you or is running their mouth about you, it happened. There was a guy in my last church, y'all, he did not like me. Did he? He didn't. And I tried everything. I better not say that. I tried everything I knew to do to make this guy like me. I really did. I went out, and it was the second year I was there, and the pecan trees were loaded. And I had four or five big paper grocery bags full of pecans. And I shelled pecans until I was sick of looking at them. My fingers couldn't touch another one of them. We had our freezer full of them. We just ran out of them last year, really. I mean, we had so many. But I got so sick of it, Bill, I said, I'm going to take these over to this man's house. And I sat and talked with him, and he talked nice. But I knew he hated me. He was on the pulpit committee, y'all, that called me there. There was a time that somebody had brought me fish. And I had a freezer full of fish. I didn't want them to go bad. They were frozen. And I took them over there and I gave them to him. But I knew he hated me. There at the end, when I'd see him come in the door, y'all, I'd go the other way. I would. I'd still pray for him. And I'd talk to him, you know, if I had to. And I'd speak to him. But I knew he didn't like me. And I'm just not going to subject myself to people who don't like me. I don't have to. I can forgive them, and I can still pray for them, but I do not have to put myself in that position. I don't, and I didn't. Joseph had to know by at this point, Jeff, that his brothers didn't like him. They did not like him. But it didn't stop him. It didn't stop him from telling the dreams. Why then did he tell the dreams? I'd have stopped at the first one. I might not have even told the first one. I kept it myself. And maybe he did keep it to himself. Maybe after he told the first one and they treated him bad, he says, oh, you think that one's bad? Y'all know how people get. You thought that one was bad? Let me tell you the other one. I don't know. Maybe he did. Why did they hate him even more? Church, God was at work. Could it be that God was preparing Joseph for what was coming? Could it be that those dreams helped Joseph when he went through being sold, being falsely accused, being sold into slavery, being thrown into prison? Could it be that Joseph's brothers would come to remember these dreams, his dream, when the story came out to completely unfold and they had a greater knowledge of who gave him those dreams? Could it be that Joseph's father, Jacob, what was meant to hear these dreams because God had spoken to him in dreams? When Joseph was taken from him, these dreams would help him to know that his son was not dead, but God was doing something in his life that he just could not see at this time. Could it be any of that? Yeah, it could be all of it. Joseph revealed those dreams for a reason. Even when he knew his brothers already hated him, and they would hate him even more. Now, church, God was at work and would be seen using circumstances in the life of Joseph many times in the next 14 chapters. Is God working in your life? we see that things happen in our lives, and we're just like, why? Why now? Listen, Amy and I, we've got something going on right now, and she made the comment just this afternoon, why now? Why now? We're in this place in our lives. Why now? I can't answer the question. Joseph couldn't answer the question. Why am I having these dreams? His brothers couldn't answer the question. Why is he so arrogant and prideful? That's what they thought. They had envy in their heart towards their brother. That's what drove the hate within him. You know, why? Why is he like this? Why is he so different from us? Because he was different. Questions that can't be asked or can't be answered. A lot of times when we have questions that we can't answer, it could be that God's working and we can't see it. There's a reason. Miss Desi, there's a reason. Hindsight is 20/20. Foresight is just blind and blurry. Church, can you see God at work in your life? Can you? You should be able to, at least in hindsight. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you and we thank you for your guiding hand. Lord, we thank you for all circumstances in our lives, even when we don't understand them, Lord, because we know that you're always at work. God, our bodies need to be fed. They need to be watered. We have to have fresh air to breathe. We have to have sleep at night, but you don't need any of that. You're always at work doing something. And everything that you do, no matter how it looks to us, is always good. So, Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and let us see you working around us. And in the midst of the storm, we'll stand and raise our fists to the storm, knowing that you are the master of the storm. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, the altar is open to you. Do you need to come?